Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10 in the Common English Bible. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. Suppose someone among you had 100 sheep and lost one of them. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he is thrilled and places it on his shoulders. And when he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Celebrate with me because I found my lost sheep." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their hearts and lives. Or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house, searching her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me because I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both heart and life. This is the word of God.
I know I was. There I go. If you're like me, you may spend a lot of time in your life finding stuff. For me, it's finding my phone. It's finding my keys, you know. It's finding my car in a big parking lot. Sometimes it's just finding out what I came in a room for, you know. And finding things can be really time-consuming. It can be frustrating. It can be embarrassing even sometimes. But the thing about finding stuff, I think the good thing about finding stuff is it's really just a matter of patience and persistence, isn't it? Because we know that the stuff that we've lost, well, it isn't going to go anywhere, right? I mean, the phone is not going to run away and the keys aren't going to play hide and seek with us. It's going to stay put wherever it is until we get it found. But what about when our finding isn't about stuff, but it's about our spirit? What about when we or someone we know is spiritually lost? Spiritually lost. And maybe it's because of something that has happened, something that they have lost in their lives. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a sense of purpose. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's faith. Well, that second kind of finding, that finding our, when we're spiritually lost, that's a little trickier. And I think that that's the kind of lostness that Jesus is pointing us to in this passage today. He's pointing us to that kind of spiritual lostness, and I think he's inviting us to think about in our own lives where and how maybe we could be lost a little. And also asking us to consider this really great news, that no matter how lost we may feel or what we may have lost, God is searching for us. Oh, he's searching for us. And he can pick us up. He can fix us up. And he can get us found today. Jesus starts off today, he's talking to a big crowd of people, as he often does. But in this crowd of people, there are actually two distinct audiences, two different types of people he's talking to. He's talking to what Luke calls sinners and tax collectors. And he's talking to Pharisees. Now, these sinners and these tax collectors, they are all over Jesus' message. They really are getting high on Jesus. They're liking Jesus a lot. because these sinners, they're people who for one reason or another, sometimes just a mistake, or sometimes because they need to survive, they have fallen away from faith. They've fallen away from righteousness. They've fallen away from trying to live up to the religious rules of the time. They just can't do it. And so they've been separated from the community around them, from the Jewish community. These are the prostitutes. These are the petty thieves. These are the morally compromised. These are the people who may be chronically diseased. And they've been pushed outside the margins, pushed outside the community. Well, these are people who are really enjoying and really liking Jesus' message, because from Jesus, they're getting something. They're getting something that they can get nowhere else. And that is a sense, that is a message, that no matter what they have done, no matter what their sins, they're still human beings who are loved by God. It goes for the sinners. And it goes for the tax collectors too, that Luke puts in a whole different category. Tax collectors, oh, they were thought of as the worst, because they were traitors to their people. They were people who were making a living by collecting taxes from their fellow Jews, extorting money from them, taking some off the top and giving the rest to the hated Romans. Sinners, tax collectors, reviled people, outcasts. Well, they were loving Jesus' message. But on the other hand, you had the Pharisees, and they not so much. Because the Pharisees were those very religious leaders. Those religious leaders whose job they felt it was to hold those laws up here and to hold people to those standards and to separate those tax collectors and those sinners from righteous people. Separate them out. The Pharisees had made job number one holding people to account for these religious rules and separating themselves, staying as far away as they possibly could from those sinners and those tax collectors. Well, they didn't like Jesus very much, because as the scripture says, they were grumbling because he would eat with those sinners and he would welcome them. But you know what? Jesus made it known that he didn't think very much of those Pharisees either, because he saw in them real hypocrisy. He saw in them their practice of abandoning the very people that they were ordained by God to serve and to help save. Jesus saw them as people who were not living up to their end of the bargain. They were a little bit like politicians sometimes. You may know of or heard of a politician or someone else in a professional capacity who's supposed to be serving people. And maybe they come into office wanting to serve people and they're very sincere about it. But over time, their number one preoccupation becomes holding on to their status, holding on to their position, maybe working their expense account. And they start to lose credibility with the very people they were supposed to be serving. That's a little bit of the way that Jesus saw the hypocrisy of these Pharisees, these religious leaders, these priests. So Jesus has these two groups before him, the sinners and the tax collectors, that Jesus feels are being pushed away from God, separated out, pushed away from God. And then he has these Pharisees, these people that are doing the pushing. And he looks at both of those people. And even as he looks at them, I think, he sees a commonality between them. sees a way where they have a little bit in common. And he tells a story. He tells a story about a coin and about a lamb and how they get lost and they get found. But on another level, he tells a story about two kinds of lostness, two kinds of lost people. On the one hand, you have the story where there's a coin. The coin is maybe sitting up on a table. Maybe it's over on a dresser. Maybe it's on a windowsill. Maybe it was in the hand of the person who owned that coin, a woman. But somehow, something happens. Something suddenly happens where that coin is pushed off that windowsill, or it gets knocked off that table. It comes out of that woman's hand and it falls to the floor, and it does things that coins do, right? Coins do what you could never get them to do if you wanted them to do it in a million years, which is they hit the ground, they bounce, they roll, they move, they somersault, they do whatever they need to do to get to the most unlikely spot, the furthest spot away, the one spot you could never think to look for them, in the darkest corner, and there they sit. There they sit. Because they're coins. And they're helpless. And they're going to stay there. And there's a good chance they're going to be forgotten. Well, I wonder if those tax collectors and those sinners, outcasts, don't hear that story and see themselves in that coin. Somehow, some way, dislodged from where they belong. And now they're lost. Think about it. The people in that crowd that day, most of them probably came from good families, right? Maybe they were in observant families. But then something happened. And now they're here, and they're like, they never thought they would be in this position. Outcast. You know, look, it's a culture where a death of a husband could make a woman a widow and then a prostitute if they had to survive. It's a culture where a neighbor with a disease could become a pariah like that. It's a culture where a person in debt, a person who's desperate, could go from being a good citizen to being a traitor. Like that. And suddenly that person is like that lost coin. That person is like that coin in the dark corner somewhere, all by themselves, not knowing what to do next. Helpless and hopeless. Sure, that could have happened. And we know that that could have happened because it still happens today, right? Oh, yeah. We see people all the time, don't we? We see people. They're on the streets. They're in their cars. They don't know what they're going to do next. They don't know what their next move is. And we look at those people and we go, man, I know that that person, he had a mother, he had a father. Some of those people came from good homes. Some of those people came from churches. But something happened in their lives. Something knocked them down. Something knocked them down, and they bounced around, and they did this, and they did that, and they ended up in this dark corner. Sometimes those churches that they grew up in let them slip away. Sometimes those churches they grew up in drove them away. I have an acquaintance. She's a woman who just works at a store that I frequent. And she's told me over the last couple of years, you know, I say, hey, how you doing? She'll say, well, actually, I'm kind of depressed. She's told me over the years that she's struggling. She's struggling, especially since her boyfriend died. Big change in her life. Well, the other day I said, how you doing? She says, I'm really, really doing poorly. I really wish I could call you and tell you my story. So I said, okay, why don't you call me? Well, she did. And she told me her story. And the big part of this story that was kind of surprising to me happened so much longer ago than now. It was like 20 years ago. She was a child, she says. She was in church. She was in youth group. But in her church, all of those years, they had hammered away at her, hammered away at all the youth, hammered away at the children. Sin, sin, sin. Especially said that there were certain sins that boys and girls could do together that were super serious sins, like deadly sins. And she confessed to me, without going into detail, that of course she had fallen in love with some guy and she had committed some of those sins. And from that moment on, she carried a burden of guilt, a burden of shame. And she felt as though God had turned his back on her. And when this big event came, when she loses this boyfriend, he dies. She doesn't know where to turn because she believes that God can't possibly love her or hear her prayers. Well, in talking to her, you know, I discovered that she'd never heard or hadn't listened to the other part of the story. That, yeah, sin is consequential. Sin is serious. There are consequences for sin. But on the other side, there's grace. God has given his Son. His Son went to the cross to cover our sins. And if we believe that, we're raised to new life with him the same way that he was raised to new life. She had never heard that side of the story before. She'd never heard it before. You see, in her church, in her place, they had all truth. And truth is truth. There is sin. There are consequences for sin. That is the truth. But they never had the grace. Come on. If you don't have the truth and the grace, you're only getting half the picture. You're only getting half the picture of who God is. You're only getting half the truth. And if you're getting half the truth, you're getting a lie. Now, can you imagine how happy she felt to understand in that moment that God hadn't turned his back on her, that God cared for her? You can imagine how these sinners and these tax collectors, who had also been told that there was no hope for them, who had also been told that there was a wall between them and God, who had also been told that they had gone too far, how they felt when Jesus said that, oh no, you may be lost. You may be in a corner. You may be in the darkest part of that house. But listen to me. I'm coming in with my light. I'm flooding this place with my light. I am throwing furniture out of the way. I'm taking a broom and I'm going to sweep. And I'm going to sweep in every crevice and every corner until I find you. And I'm going to raise my hand up. I'm going to pick you up. And I'm going to rejoice with the angels. I'm found. This is found. My child is found. Come on. Come on. That's what we have, right? That's what we know. That's what we have to give. So those people, they see this, they're like, oh, Jesus, this is awesome. My heart is just going, right? But what about those Pharisees? What about those Pharisees? And what about those lambs? Because I think that there's a connection there. I think that if those Pharisees in that moment and hearing that story of the lamb that gets lost, I think if their hearts were open, they might see themselves in that story. A lamb that gets lost. Because how does a lamb get lost? A lamb doesn't get lost because someone's carrying it and drop it. A lamb gets lost because it has its nose on the ground. A lamb gets lost because it's not seeing what's around it. It's nibbling on the grass. And it's going from this to that desire, from this to that place, that thing that it wants, filling itself up. And you know what? Those lambs, they got their nose down and they're eating. That lamb is eating. And he thinks, I'm doing great. I'm getting everything I want. This is what I should be doing. I'm moving the right way. My feet are sure. Until finally they look up and they notice that all the other lambs are gone. And the darkness is starting to come in and it's getting a little scary. And they can no longer hear the shepherd's voice. See, we can get lost in all kinds of ways. We can get lost because something knocks us down and we bounce around and we just get disoriented and in a corner and lost. But we can also get lost just because we're drifting. Just because we're drifting. We can get lost from our sense of who we are. We can get lost from our sense of purpose and what God wants us to do. We can get lost from our sense of the kinds of people God wants us to be, the kinds of husbands, the kinds of wives, the kinds of students, the kinds of pastors that God wants us to be. We can drift away. It can happen. But the good news is, oh, God is searching for us. Yeah, we can get coin lost. We can get lamb lost. But Jesus is searching for us. Jesus is searching for us right now. And he has his lamp. And he is lighting the way all around us. And he is sweeping every corner of our lives, every corner of our hearts with the wind of his Holy Spirit. He is calling for us. He is scouring the hillsides. He is longing to put us on his shoulders and take us back to his flock, back to being one with him right now, today. That's what our God is like, the whole picture, the truth, and the grace. So maybe today, you know, maybe we're a little lost. Maybe we're big time lost. Maybe we don't feel like we've ever even been found. If so, today's a good day to remember that God is looking for us. God wants to find us, but here's the thing. We're not coins, and we're not lambs. We're human beings to whom God has given free will. And even though God is looking for us and searching for us right now and is longing to bring us back to him, we have to raise our hands and say, find me, find me, find me. And when we do, know for a fact, God will come around us. He will pick us up. He will fix us up. He will get us found. And he will raise us up and celebrate with the angels. He's found. He's found. He's found. Today I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask Paul to go ahead and begin our closing hymn today. Let's not sing it just yet. When we do, it's on 378. You'll want to get that. But let's just listen to this music for a few minutes. And let's just pray for a minute in our hearts, in our seats. Just asking the Lord, oh my goodness, where am I lost? What is it you might want from me today, God? Who are the people you want me to reach out today, God? Or maybe it's, God, I've never known you. I've never known you. But I want to. Oh, it's just be in this place, in this moment, with our hands raised. Find me. Find me. Find me. Today may be a day we want to recommit ourselves to Christ. Today may be a day that we want to say, oh God, I love you. Now show me how to show that love. Today may be the day. Hear his voice. Hear his voice. Listen for his prompting. Hear that shepherd. Find me. Find me. Find me. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, you know us today. You see us today. You know that our hands are raised, our hearts are raised, oh God, to you. Find us today. Make us truly your people today. Guide me, oh Lord, to be that person you want me to be. Find me. Find me. Find me.